This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Daniel Majukgai is one of the so-called Lost Boys of Sudan. They fled the country in the 1980s when their villages were destroyed. Guy wound up in Denver. He went to college here. And now he's working with the Colorado nonprofit Project Education Sudan in the region where he grew up. It's part of South Sudan, the world's newest country. Guy recalled that when he was six, he was taken from his family at gunpoint and eventually walked hundreds of miles with other boys to get to refugee camps. Guy says he never thought he'd go back to his village.
Never thought of it. When I left at a gunpoint, I didn't know where I was going to, and I didn't know when am I returning back home.
What was the span of years? What's the total?
Left home in 1987 to Ethiopia for 4 years. And then back to Sudan for 3 months only at the border, but not my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to travel all the way down 1,000 miles south of the country and entering into north of Kenya. And I've been there for 9 years, refugee camp. And then in 2001.
At a refugee camp, you said. And then in 2001.
2001, on September 4, before September 11, I came to Denver, Colorado.
And when did you first step back in your village?
It was in 2008. That's when I went back and met with my father, united with my father for over 22 years without seeing him.
You fled your home without your parents.
Yes.
During the long-standing civil war between the North and the South.
Yes.
And what memory haunts you most about that time?
My family members and the horrific moment that when I see that people were dying, houses were burned down, and people were running everywhere and there. I left without my siblings, and I left my twin brothers just like that without knowing them where they were.
Twin brothers.
Until 2007, that's when I was able to see them here in Denver. I applied for them and brought them here in 2007.
Did you lose some family and friends?
I lost 3 of my brothers during the Civil War.
How did those in your family survive while others died? In other words, you know, what's the difference?
Well, the incident was not just occurring once. It was a continuing incident.
Yeah, it went on for a long time.
Yeah, it went on for a long time. But after 3 brothers were killed, and that's when I was already gone, my mom made a decision and my father and took rest of the siblings. And they went to refugee camp in the southern part of South Sudan.
And this saved their lives.
And that's what saved their life until 2001 when I tracked them down from a friend of mine in Nairobi. And I was lucky enough to get my mother, my 4 brothers, and 1 sister. I brought them here to Denver. They are here in Denver, Colorado.
When we last spoke to you, it was before the South voted for independence and became
yes.
its own country
mm-hmm.
in July
yeah.
With the capital of Juba.
Mm-hmm.
What has changed since the region became its own country?
Well, it's really remarkable. And I saw in my own naked eye that people are really looking for a change. They don't want to go back again to that terrible life. And so people vote for separation. And in July 9th of 2011, I was there when independence took place. It was just amazing. It was emotional, but it was really fulfilling of the struggle that our people have gone through.
But of course, we know, like, I'm thinking of the struggles in the Arab world, in the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
We know that there can be a lot of happiness and joy and
yeah.
celebration around the transition.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of questions about
yeah.
how a country moves forward.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing in South Sudan? Are you hopeful?
I am hopeful. Really.
What gives you that hope?
What gives me hope is the freedom. The freedom we have now, we never had that freedom of exercising your right.
Speaking.
You can speak out your mind, and you know that the one that is ruling you is from the same side. And you have a freedom of crossing border. You can cross from Jonglei to Central Equatoria, to Western Equatoria, to Western Barrel Ghazal.
These are different states.
Those are different states, and you can just walk whenever you want to walk.
You just didn't have that freedom of movement.
Before. But now those are taking place.
What are you doing on the ground there?
What we are doing, we are building schools. And this year, I was able to brought 4 communities together and united them. And the headmasters of the schools, we are working hand in hand. I was able also, one of our boarding school for girls only, they have been sleeping on floor. They never had a bunk beds. There was no bed. So we were able to provide those beds. And those students who are sleeping in school, all of them are sleeping now on beds of new mattresses.
Well, we're speaking with Daniel Majuk Guy, who works in the newly formed Republic of South Sudan. And let's bring Carol Reinhardt into the discussion. She co-founded and directs Denver-based Project Education Sudan. And Carol, you've been traveling to and from this region for many years now.
I have.
What have you seen change since independence?
Well, I've been going since 2005, right after the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. There was absolutely no health care. There was no clean water. There was starvation. There were landmines still in the roads. Now there's clean water. We drill clean water at every site that we go to. Health care is beginning to emerge. It still has the highest infant child mortality rate at 70% in the world.
Specifically South Sudan?
Specifically South Sudan.
Yeah.
And girl child education was almost non-existent when I went in 2005. And now the government is encouraging girls to become educated. And we have the only all-girls school in the whole region. And we have our first graduating class this May with 16 girls.
This is the same boarding school that now has
dormitories and bunk beds, yeah.
And I want to point out that the state you work in is really one of the poorest in South Sudan.
It is the poorest and the most war-affected.
And this is Jonglei?
Jonglei State.
Do you have lots of hope? Because the thing that's in the background here is tension now between South Sudan and Sudan. There's a lot of oil in South Sudan that those north would love to get their hands on. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly like South Sudan is out of the woods here.
Mm-mm. But there's more hope because there is a dialogue that's going on between the North and the South. And there's business people that I know in South Sudan who are participating in that dialogue, and they're part of the government. But the South is exercising their independence, and they're speaking up.
Daniel, when are you going back?
I'm going back on the 15th.
On the 15th. You know, Carol mentioned health care there. Is that a pressing issue you see too?
Well, like Carol said, that the country has been in war for a long period of time. Infrastructure was destroyed. No health care. Now when the country got independent, they're just starting from scratch. So health care, yes, there is still a problem.
How does that manifest in the village or villages that you visit? What do you see?
They have malaria, typhoid. There's a pandemic of syphilis from the war. They have a lot of childbirth difficulties, a lot of illness.
What's the biggest obstacle to a good education, Daniel?
Lack of material.
I mean, as basic as books?
I mean, like, there is no universal education that we have there, but the country, the Ministry of Education, is working on that, trying to come up.
With something uniform.
Yes, something uniform.
That's the hope. You have a lot of the diaspora returning to South Sudan, especially the educated diaspora here in the United States, the United Kingdom, but they didn't have enough books. They're just beginning to get enough books. They do not have any electricity. We brought in last year an iPod with a solar-powered Eaton docking station that it, now the headmaster is putting information on the iPod. He's charging the speaker by sun, solar, and then lessons and training are going on that way. And we're also providing hand-crank solar-powered radios because the teachers need a resource to utilize in their classrooms.
Well, Daniel, I understand some congratulations are in order, that you were recently married.
Well, thank you so much.
And this happened in South Sudan?
It's happened in South Sudan.
She's Sudanese?
She's a Sudanese. I'm married to a wonderful, beautiful wife of mine, and her name is Yom Machanol.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
Carol,
you so
were you at
much.
The wedding?
No, I wasn't at the wedding. It just took place December 26th, and he left his bride and came here to Denver, so she's very eagerly calling him every day, when are you coming home?
Well, soon. Soon. Thank you both for being with us. A pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Daniel Majokai and Carol Reinhardt work for Denver-based Project Education Sudan.